It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 57 of the Taking Notes Podcast for Monday, March 26th, 2007. I am Bruce Elgort, here with
Julian Robichaud on a cell phone.
Julian Robichaud on a cell phone, and we also have Captain Oblivious, Mr. Rob McDonough, also on the line here. Right, Rob?
I am, in fact, here, even though I am still oblivious.
Well, Rob, welcome to the podcast. We also have a little segment from Tim Tripconi later on in the show here. So how's everyone doing? Julian?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Bruce. I'm doing quite well. Nothing new to report, though.
And Mr. McDonough?
It's not a bad thing.
Fabulous. We've just gotten rid of the last of our snow in the Northeast so far.
All right. Well, a lot's been happening in the notes and domino world. Unfortunately, we haven't had much time to podcast about it or, for that matter, blog about it. So let's jump right in with the Notes 8 beta. It seems like there's a ton of downloads. I forgot what the last number quoted was, but it's probably, what, over 20,000 downloads so far? Which
somewhere between 20,000 and 200 billion.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact number, though.
Yeah. Again, you know, I have the – right now I'm running the – is it called the classic client? Someone's going to smack me around for getting the verbiage wrong, but I'm running the traditional Notes 8 client, not the Eclipse-based client. And, you know, it's doing the job. I haven't had a single crash. It's prettier. It's Note 7 made to look a lot better. And Rob is on the podcast today to help us along with some of the things that he – as a Notes 8 beta tester, has come to like, and maybe, should we use the word dislike, Rob?
You could use that word. It would be entirely accurate.
All right.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned using what's properly called the basic version of the client, because I haven't used that at all. I've only used what they call the standard version, which is the Eclipse version. No idea what Notes 8 basic looks like.
All right. So why don't we jump right in, Rob, and tell us, you know, you're the man on the street for this podcast. Tell us about some of the things you dig and some of the things that you don't.
All right, well, let's start off with the good news, okay? Some of the things I really like the HTML message rendering in the Notes client. For the first time ever, you can actually say that. I really like the fact that when there's an HTML message containing an image, that image is disabled by default, but you can just click on a link to see the image, just like you would in Gmail or Thunderbird or some other modern email client. And to see that, to have that in Notes is just, you know, I don't have to tell you that that's a big plus just visually for our end users.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like the productivity apps, the replacements or the, you know, maybe not replacements for some people, but replacements for me for Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. A couple weeks ago, I started experimenting with using them instead of Office, and 10 days ago, I turned off Office, and I could literally uninstall it at this point. I haven't used it since in the last 10 days.
Rob, before you go on, what about some of your in-house applications that use, you know, like OLE automation? Has that been an issue?
Well, we don't have a lot of in-house OLE automation going on, so it hasn't been an issue for us. Anything we do is typically an export where we're writing something out to Excel, and all we're doing is writing out the application type in an agent. And I don't know yet how to change that to the correct format for the productivity apps, but it can't be any more difficult than writing it out for Excel.
Mm-hmm. So what else?
It really is very pretty, right? You've noticed that, right? If you're looking in mail and you're reading a mail message, the UI has become much more visually attractive, and it looks like a modern email client. It is absolutely amazing how well what do they call it exactly? When you're doing type ahead addressing in a name field, like in the to of an email message, they cache some of your constantly used contacts. And so if you're sending an email to your boss, chances are by the time you're on the second or third letter, it's already pulled up your boss's name.
Mm-hmm. I think they cache the first the last 2,000 entries, if I remember reading correctly, on one of the forums.
That sounds right. I think that's right, 2,000. And it it really does help a lot in just finding the names that you need. There are a lot of Jameses in my office, but if I'm looking for the one I talk to and the only James I talk to, then Notes 8 gives that to me without making me choose the unambiguous names dialog box. I really like the fact that when you search for something in Notes 8, your search is saved, so you can go back to it later. I think that's very, very useful. I really like the fact that the inline spell checker is built in. That's great. I happen to like the fact that they've changed the selection technique in views. You know how you used to have to click and tick them off in the what they call the gutter of the view. Now you can do shift click and control click like a more traditional Windows application. Some people have said they have trouble with that, but I think that's actually a very good thing. Mm-hmm. I have trouble with one thing, but I also like it, which is that they've renamed a database to application. I like that change, but it still throws me when I'm trying to look for something in the menus or do a keyboard shortcut.
I think all of that brings up a good point too, Rob. Now, for someone like you who's a longtime Notes user, how much of a learning curve is there as far as actually, kind of picking up this new client? There's a lot of things that are different about it. So is it something that was a real easy transition for you, or did it take a while to kind of get used to it?
It was pretty quick to become able to do your work in it. I don't think there's a big learning curve in that sense. I did probably spend an hour or two just literally going through every element I could see to try and see how everything behaved, because, of course, it's a beta, and I'm a geek, and I wanted to know all that stuff. I went through every entry in the preferences dialog. But I didn't find that it's so difficult to learn. I thought there are some different metaphors they use in the user interface, right? All the UI has been reimagined, I guess Mary Beth might say. But it makes sense, so I didn't find it difficult to pick up.
Now, for anyone who actually doesn't need to, or doesn't necessarily need to, but for anyone who's not about to load the Notes 8 client yet, there actually are a few things that IBM has put out to kind of give you a little bit of a feel for what everything looks like and some of the new features, too. There's the Domino 8 Reviewer Guide, which is a PDF file. And there's also on the IBM site, and we'll put a link here in the show notes, the What's New in IBM Notes in Domino version 8. It's just a DeveloperWorks article that's several pages long that goes through some of the changes, too. Which actually one of the interesting things in there is they keep referring to it as Notes Domino V8, which just kind of reminds me of the old "I could have had a V8" commercials.
I printed out that reviewer's guide. It's quite good. It's 170 pages of casual reading, but it's very good. And that's what I plan on finishing before I even fire up the Eclipse client. So.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Rob. I probably interrupted. What were some other things you like and don't like about this new client?
The good and the bad, and the good and the bad.
I think we've covered a lot of the good. It really is a very dramatically, visually more appealing client than it has been in the past, and I think that's probably the thing that most people will take away from it. But as far as things that aren't maybe so good. At least in the Eclipse version, it definitely is a memory hog. When I've got it running, I'm easily consuming, 150 to 200 megs of RAM between the various Notes tasks, and Notes 7 would probably consume about 50. So there's a significant difference there. They also could do a lot more work on the RSS plugin they put in the sidebar. I don't know. Have you guys tried to use that at all?
When I tried I did install the Eclipse client for like 15 minutes, and I did, try the RSS, plugin, on the sidebar. I clicked on a blog entry and it came up with a little pop-up with the text. I don't know if I like the UI that they developed to show that. I mean, I don't use my RSS reader that way, but what about it, Rob? Now that I've gone totally off course with that one?
Well, no, I mean, that actually is one of the issues with it, is that little preview pop-up is very oddly sized, and it's just not a very good way to read a feed, I don't think. And, the feed reader element of it, it doesn't pop up notifications when you have new documents in your feed, like you're probably used to seeing from your primary feed reader. And I know it's not supposed to replace your primary feed reader, but at this point, I haven't come up with a business case for using it the way it currently works. That doesn't mean that I won't come up with one.
Yeah, as some would say, it's beta. And being that it's beta, Rob, how has the stability been with the Eclipse client?
It's pretty good. There are definitely some times when it'll hiccup. Some other people have pointed out, and I've definitely noticed this, if there's a network connectivity issue, the Eclipse client doesn't recover from that very quickly, and it doesn't respect your breaking out of the network operation by control break. So if there's a problem connecting to your server, or if you think you're in online mode but you're really in offline mode, then you will see some major delays of maybe 20 or 30 seconds before you'll get a response from something. But I haven't had more than a couple of crashes, and they're reproducible crashes that I was able to provide IBM with crash dumps for. And so, you know, I just avoid doing those things, and those things I'm sure will be fixed because they have the NSD files for them. I haven't had a lot of issues with just not being able to use the client, though. I use it all day, every day, and I live in Notes, so.
All right. Rob has two great posts on his blog with about 20 items in the things you don't like, and I would say an equal amount in the things you do like. So we'll put a reference to those, a link to those in the show notes for everyone. Rob, what else on the Notes 8 before we move on to the next topic?
Well, I mean, as you pointed out, it is beta, right? So there is still the opportunity to test it and to possibly generate some feedback that IBM might use to change directions a little bit. We're not going to be able to add brand new features, but there might be something that, if enough of the community tries it out and they say, you know, this doesn't quite work for us in this way, there might be time to come up with a slightly different implementation of something. So even though a lot of people have said, you know, try to test what they gave us and maybe, you know, just keep your feedback focused on that, I still say there's time to lobby IBM if there's something about the beta that you wish acted in some slightly different manner.
And Rob, I've noticed that you've been proudly representing the Gallant Furball Software Corporation on the Notes 8 beta forum.
Yes, I have. That's the new version.
You've been doing a fine job with that. Mm-hmm. Well, and really, I guess the serious part of that is that the forums have been very responsive. It seems that at least several people from IBM have been really monitoring and answering questions and kind of saying, okay, that's a good point, and flagging things as little tickets, right?
There really is a lot of participation from IBM on the forum. On a couple of my posts, I've had responses with, yes, you're right, that's a bug. Here's the SPR number, not just we'll look into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because there's little check marks by everything that's got an SPR, right?
Actually, anything that they have considered completed, whether it's just that they have accepted feedback on something or whether it's that they've solved a problem or answered a question or generated an SPR, those items all have check marks next to them.
Okay.
All right. For those of you who will be blogging or are blogging about the Notes 8 beta, I think there's a tag that Ed Brill had suggested, and that would be Notes 8 beta. So if you do some postings or podcasts or pictures, screenshots, whatever on Flickr, use the tag Notes 8 beta. We'll put a link to the reviewer's guide that Mr. Robichaux mentioned earlier. And as Rob indicated, you know, use that feedback forum, you know, just not for bugs, but for also things that you may want to see in the Notes 8 client. Rob, anything more to add to the Notes 8 discussion?
No, just I just think that we should, you know, we all should encourage people to get out there and test it and to give their feedback. The more feedback, the better, right?
Yeah, you're talking to Julian, right?
I certainly am.
All right. Julian?
Yeah.
Anything else for the Notes 8 topic?
Not right now. I think we've got a lot of stuff lined up for future podcasts in terms of things we're going to talk about. And, you know, certainly that's a live topic right now. So this is not the last we'll be talking about it. But that's a good start. You know, mm-hmm. Go out there, download it. Play with it.
Yep. One thing I do want to consider for a future podcast is try something like TalkShoe, where people can just engage in this large, you know, group conversation. Right now on Skype, we're limited to, you know, 5 people. But TalkShoe, I think a lot of podcasters are using it now to have this big forum where people can raise their hand and we can say, yes, Mr. Head, you have the floor. Go for it. So that's about it. Hey, guys, earlier this evening, I spent a couple minutes talking with Tim Tripconi on how he is using Mojo Pack to test the Notes 8 client. So let's take a few minutes and have a listen. Here we are with Tim Tripconi. Tim, how are you?
Doing well, and you, Bruce?
I'm doing pretty great. I'm here talking with you, and we're talking about how you are testing out the Notes beta, the Notes 8 beta client, but you're doing it a little bit differently, say, than the average bear, right?
Possibly. The approach I'm taking is using Mojo Pack, which you had blogged about last year. And what MojoPack is it's similar to a virtual machine, such as VMware, but it's a slightly different approach to it. It only runs on Windows, XP, and Vista. But the way it behaves is that you install it specifically onto a portable device. For example, an iPod or some other USB device. And it creates a miniature copy of XP that sits atop your existing copy of XP. And then you can plug that same device into any XP machine, and you've got what you installed right there on the removable device. And it differs also from virtual machines in the sense that it's only a subset of the guest operating system. It's able to leverage the existing operating system, so it doesn't use as much memory, and it doesn't use as much hard disk space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it runs faster. It runs more smoothly in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I've chosen to use this for testing the Notes 8 beta is Mojo Pack, which, by the way, is $49.99 for one license. Their site is mojopack.com, mojopac.com. And it allows you to install applications directly to the portable device. Because when you open Mojo Pack, it initially looks like a clean installation of Windows. So when you install an application, it has its own Mojo Pack has its own registry, its own start menu, etc. So I initially installed Note 7, 702, on my iPod, and then upgraded it to the Notes 8 beta. And so that allows me to switch back and forth between 7 on my laptop and 8 on my iPod and just be able to compare what's different, what's been added, what's been removed, etc. And that also allows me to keep my laptop more or less pristine. So if there's anything in 8 that I don't like, I haven't impacted my laptop's installation of Notes in any way. So that's allowed me to be a little bit more confident in, you know, fully immersing myself in the testing experience, because I'm not worried that I'm losing any data. But I can also bring in any data that I do want to check for compatibility issues, because it does treat the device as a removable drive. So from the Mojo Pack window, the removable drive is the C drive, but from my laptop screen, in my case, it's the H drive. It it just takes on whatever the next available drive letter is. So I can drag a local database, for example, from my C drive on my laptop to the H drive, then switch back to MojoPack, and that database is immediately available for testing in 8.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Tim, thanks for the information on MojoPack. Can we get you back in a couple weeks to talk to you about, you know, what you like about Notes 8, what you love about Notes 8, and maybe some things that you don't like about Notes 8?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, I look forward to speaking to you then. Thanks again for filling us in on MojoPack. And, Tim, you got a blog, right?
Yes, I do.
Which is?
TimTripconey.com. It's Tripconey, T-R-I-P-C-O-N-Y. It's phonetic, but anyway.
No worries. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And thanks again, Tim.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right, we're back. Thanks, Tim, for spending some time telling us about MojoPack and how you're using it to test the Notes 8 beta. Next on the agenda is, Julian, that's your topic.
Oh, open
it is
blog.
Your now. It's your topic now.
All right. Well, I'm just going to be real brief because I don't think I need to be talking all night about OpenLog, but I finally did get around to kind of finishing up testing and documenting and releasing the version 1.5 of OpenLog that Mr. Rob McDonough and I demoed at Lotusphere in January. And it's the same functionality we demonstrated, just with a few kind of tweaks and a lot more documentation. And the big thing there is going to be the JavaScript logging. So now you can log not only your Lotusscript and your Java code, but also your JavaScript. You can log that right back to the OpenLog database. And probably the best thing to do is to point you to the blog entry that I just posted that has about a 2 or 3 minute flash. What do you call those? A screen cam, webcam, some kind of cam?
Yeah.
Screenshot.
A wink.
What do you call it?
A screen cam. No, a screencast.
We call them a demo.
It's like a little demo movie thing in Flash, and it just shows you how easy it is to really just add the OpenLog library to your web page in Domino or whatever, and boom, suddenly you have error logging. And I'm going to do a few more demos along those lines. One would be to show how to implement it in with try-catch blocks as opposed to just sort of the page-wide kind of error logging. And I know Rob has already started talking about some of that, too, on his site. And there's RSS feeds in there now, too, for notification. And I have some information on how to do that in the help, and I'll probably go ahead and do an extended blog entry on that as well just to help people along. So new OpenLog, and it's still technically beta code. So, I would say definitely just kind of test it right now. And if you want to put it in production, go ahead. But I would like for more people to be using it and kind of give some more feedback and maybe squash some of the bugs that we haven't seen yet or even just maybe clarify some of the documentation just to make sure that we know what we're looking at. But then again, I tend to be pretty gun-shy about that sort of thing, so...
But, you know, it is a beta, so people can still generate feedback and cause you possibly to add a feature or tweak a feature if they're real.
Very good, Rob. You know, you guys did a fantastic job at Lotusphere. You know, I've been a longtime fan of OpenLog. You know, I've spoken about it, and you guys spoke for a whole session about it, which I typically get asked to do, and it's just like, you guys kicked ass, all right? So I hope to see it again next year.
Actually,
we're going to see it in Dublin in May, right?
That's true, at the Irish Lotus User Group, iLug.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic here, which was a blog entry that I posted on my blog, which talked about, when you need to make a copy or a replica of a database, typically you may either do it from the Domino administrator or from your Notes client, but when you're using either your Notes client or your Domino administrator, again, say a server that may be located, you know, 4,000 miles away, and you have a slow connection, every document you copy or replicate, you know, does a full round trip, right? It goes from the server to your workstation back to the server or the destination server. And I was doing, I needed to copy a whole bunch of databases, on the same server, and I pinged no other than Domino Administrator Extraordinaire and author Thomas Gums if there was a way. Well, I asked him if there was a way to, you know, make copies right from the command line of a server, you know, and or replicas or whatever, and he came back and said, heck yeah. So I didn't know that, and it looks like, based on the comments I got, that either did a whole bunch of people. So just quickly, we'll link to the blog entry that I had, but it's really easy to do. And what you need to do is, if you go to the Domino Administrator console and you type in, and this doesn't have to be on a clustered server, it can just be on a standalone server. If you type in setconfig cluster underscore admin underscore on equals one and hit enter, that turns on the feature that allows you to do the subsequent things I'm going to tell you right here. And one of those is, say you want to make a copy of a database from a source data. Well, you want to make a copy of a database to a target database. What you do is simply from the command line, type in CL space copy, the source database name and the target database name, and hit enter. And poof, the server goes off and makes a copy. Again, it doesn't have to be on the same server. So if you do something like CL copy server name, !! DB1.NSF, and then you put the target server and database name, that'll work as well. You can also make a replica by adding the word replica at the end of that copy, that CL copy command, as well as only, say, create the template portion of the copy on the target database. And what else, guys? Rob, CL copy. What, Julian?
I was just going to ask, and now, how much better is this than doing file database copy?
What do you mean, how much better? It doesn't have to go through your client. So it's just when you issue the command at the server, and the server's doing all the work.
Okay, so really, what if you do a file database copy, then it's going from the server down to your workstation out to the new server, right?
Correct.
And so this way, it's just direct server-to-server conversation. So did you do any kind of testing as to see just, you know, really how much faster this stuff is?
It's a heck of a lot faster, because the connection I had to this server in Antarctica was not very fast, and I was copying a mail file, which was going on like 6 or 7 hours. I then issued the same command through Domino Administrator with the CL copy, and it was done in like 4 minutes. So,
man. All right. So there you go, folks.
Yeah, Rob, you have
6 hours down to 4 minutes.
That's pretty dang good, Rob. You had some feedback too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the administrators at the office were pointing out that we're copying 20 gig databases back and forth all the time, and it can take a great deal of time. And this will make a huge difference to them when they're trying to build labs. I had never heard of this. I've never seen this referenced anywhere. So this is the first time hearing of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big help to admins.
All right. We'll refer to the blog post. And thank you again, Thomas. I think Thomas appeared on episode 54 of the podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, please do so. What else? Ed Brill linked to a new blog, and so did Alan Leposky, on the developer work site called Composite Application Blog. Which they have a couple articles, two of them. The two most recent are How to Develop Eclipse Components for Composite Applications in Lotus Notes, and the second, Designing Composite Applications on Notes 8. I think there's a third, but I think I forgot it. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's that time to hear a guy who hasn't been on the podcast in a while, who gives who does the OpenNTF update, Mr. John Greyhawk Rowling.
Yes, it's time for another OpenNTF update. I am Greyhawk68. Coming at you this time around, there are lots of updates, so I'm going to get right to it. V3 Beta 6 of Blogsphere, the blogging template by Declan Lynch, is now available. The Good Management System, or GMS, by Bill Greenberg, is a new project, and version 2007-0326 is now available. The GMS is a contact, activity, time, invoicing, consulting relationship manager template for Lotus Notes. It slices, it dices! Go check out GMS. Version 0.3.1a of Domino Web Tools, managed by Jack Ratcliffe, is now out and is a project that extends the YUIXt library. Jake Hollett is also working on his own version of the YUIXt library. See codestore.net for more info. Action Bar version 1.01 by Venelin Todorov is out now. This is a tool for view and form action bar quick edits. You can use this tool to replace view and form action bar stuff, including action bars, actions and styles, the action bar style only, or actions only. Venelin also released version 1.01 of his view edit tool, which allows you to quickly view and edit view columns. Domino Application Framework version 0.61 by Jorg Reck and Heiko Jabosch is now available. DAF is an application framework for developing IBM Lotus Notes applications in a standard way. SpamSS and Integration, managed by Nick Radoff, is now available. This project allows you to integrate the freeware SpamSS and spam filtering software with Lotus Notes and Domino. OpenLog 1.5 Beta is out by our very own Julian Robichaud. Didn't you guys just talk about this on the show? Sure, make me say more things than I need to do. Thanks. Project Haystack by Nathan Freeman is a new project on OpenNTF. The goal of this project is to create a flexible full-text searching and processing engine for the Notes client. Timesheet version 4.1, managed by Fabio Barbieri, is out now. NoteFix version 1.5, a document maintenance tool managed by Ferhat Balut, is ready for download. Domain Patrol by Peter Narland, version 3.14b, is out. Domain Patrol is the catalog NSF on steroids with tons of action tools. It also won the Lotus Advisor Editor's Choice Award this year, so congratulations to Peter Narland. File Uploader version 1.1, managed by Ricard M. Anderson and Tommy Exlander, is freshly baked and ready for consumption. This project shows you how to use the File Uploader from QuickPlace and use it in any Notes applications. There are tons of other great projects that have had releases over the last few months, so please be sure to go check them out at www.openntf.org. Thanks for listening, and for the OpenNTF update, I'm John Rowland.
We're back. We're back from the OpenNTF update.
Speaking of things that start with open.
Speaking of things that start with open.
Yes. What a segue.
Sesame, right?
Open Sesame. What's Open Sesame, Mr. Robichaud?
From OpenNTF to Open Sesame. Now, Open Sesame is not an OpenNTF project, but it is something that Ben Lang Henricks of Genii Software has been working on that gives you programmatic access from Lotus Notes to the Lotus Productivity Editor. So really, from Notes to OpenOffice. And he's been doing some demos on his website of just some really simple-looking code, just like one or two lines, like maybe one line of formula language or a couple lines of Lotus script or something like that, where suddenly you can talk directly from Notes to OpenOffice and back, and he's been doing some really neat-looking spreadsheet things. Mm-hmm. Where he's got the spreadsheets just talking right back and forth, and kind of reminiscent of the old, what was it, NoteFX or whatever that stuff was, where you were able to do some data interchange between applications and Notes, and it looks really interesting and robust.
Mm-hmm. I gave Ben a call today to find out some information about Open Sesame, and what Ben indicated, just for clarification, is that you'll be able to call the Open Sesame stuff from Lotus Script, the formula language, Java, and C. And what he did make clear to me is currently you can read information from an ODF file, so that you know, not a running application, kind of like we do with OLE automation in Excel. So the current thing he's working on is to be able to read it, you know, from, you know, a file. So, or any ODF compliant application, as he stated. So, it's cool stuff. And I have to imagine that that's going to grow over time into being able to do, you know, maybe, you know, real time interaction with, say, an OpenOffice application.
You know, we'll just have to get him on the show again.
He said he would. You know, it's just, I think we have to pull him a little harder.
Yeah, he was one of our early interviews, wasn't he?
I think he was maybe three or four or five, you know, episode 3, 4, or 5, but that seems like such a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. Over a year, probably.
Oh, it was definitely over a year. All right, speaking of, well, not speaking of anything, but it's almost time for Collaboration University again. I guess the next semester, as Rob Novak would say. They're beginning the next semester of Collaboration University, which is going to, again, take place in Kansas City and London. The dates are to be announced, and, you know, Rob's going to be on the podcast hopefully soon where he can tell us more about it. So, we covered all the agenda items. Rob, anything agenda? What are we in, a meeting? We covered all the agenda items.
Any more action items that we need to cover?
Are there any next steps that we need to review?
Next actions? I guess not.
Getting things done methodology that we can insert in here somehow.
Right, yeah, we got to get Eric Mack on the podcast because he's working on a, I think, a commercialized version of the getting things done template. So we'll have to bug him. Eric, if you're listening, ping us. We want to talk to you.
GTD V8 with ODF.
You're killing me, Julian. Well, Rob, thank you for taking the time to give us some insights into your Notes 8 endeavors, and we really appreciate it. We wish more people would volunteer to be on the podcast like you did.
Hey, I am thrilled to have been on the podcast with such dignified and professional speakers as yourselves. No, seriously. I was glad to do it, and it was fun, and I'll be your man on the street whenever you'd like.
All right. Well, you know, if nothing else, thanks for letting us drag you down with us.